Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, February 7th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, back again, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. Fun to be here.
Yeah. And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Andrew had a few days off. Things got weird, so we had to bring him back.
So I climbed out of that Tuesday hole.
Yeah, out of the Tuesday hole, finally conquered it. So here we go. Today, we have a couple of interesting things to discuss. And the first is screen recording within apps. Now, Andrew, this was a thing that you wrote up for us this morning, right?
Yeah, so TechCrunch first reported this. They found out that a lot of popular apps, like from airlines, travel sites, carriers, banks, some of them record your screen. And it sounds scary, but it's basically for analytics purposes. Like, there's something called A/B testing, which developers and designers can use basically to figure out what you're doing in the app in order to improve the experience for you. Right. Like, if there are any issues.
So, for example, with A/B testing, what it is there's two sorts of groups, and some get maybe one version of an interface, and then another group gets another version of the interface, and then finding out which one is the one that's more effective. Or, like, for example, in an email newsletter, like, if you lay it out one way and you lay it out a different way and you send that out to two different groups of people, which one gets the most clicks back to your website or things like that. So that's what A/B testing is. And it sounds like apps are doing this, but apps aren't in trouble for doing this.
Yeah. I mean, first, just a reminder, iOS apps are sandboxed, so they can't interact with other apps. So, for example, app A can't record what you do in app B. And I had reached out to this developer who made this comment on Reddit, who's saying, like, this is totally normal. This shouldn't be, like, a huge deal that some websites are making it out to be. Mm-hmm. Now, I did highlight a couple of issues. I mean, screen recording isn't mentioned in the privacy policy.
Okay.
And I think maybe it should be. Like, my opinion is that these policies should just be completely revamped and be, you know, more transparent,
yeah,
less jargon, stuff like that.
Shorter, so people read them would be nice.
Yeah, maybe a TLDR at the top there, giving us a little bit of a summary of what's going on. Yeah, and this is definitely one of those things that I realize now that I take for granted. But to me, and don't take this the wrong way just because I'm saying this, to me, it's obvious that apps would know what you were doing inside them, right? Mm-hmm. But that's only because I'm inside of some apps, right? Like, I've developed some apps. It makes sense. You want to have some metrics about not even A/B testing, just, okay, you know, this person had a crash. Okay, cool. What were they doing that led to this? You know, what are the things that I can learn to make my app better for that user, right? Like, there's a lot, I would say probably 99% of the things that this data is used for are really, really good things, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful when a developer can have that kind of insight without having to ask you, for two reasons. Number one, the convenience of or the inconvenience of having to ask a user, and the inconvenience for that user of having to describe, but also our memory as people, but also as users of apps, is flawed, right? We know what we thought we did, but that's often a little bit different than what we actually did. And what we actually did is actually the only thing that matters, right?
Do you open the app every day? Of course I do. And then, you know, like, looking at the usage, you know, it's twice a week tops. You know, like, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, like, there's that kind of stuff. Now, when I heard this report about screen recording, it was like, it had never dawned on me that apps I suppose I knew they could, but it never dawned on me that they would be using that functionality for this type of thing. But it was like, oh yeah, okay, that's there. You know, it was added to iOS. It's a thing. Why wouldn't developers use that again to get analytics? Now, the wrong developer could use this potentially to capture things like, you know, credit card data. But again, you're, if you're typing your credit card into an app, you are willingly giving that to an app developer. Now, are they following PCI compliance, which is the thing that says how you have to be very safe and encrypted and, you know, you have to keep password data under lock and key. Do these videos cause some developers to run afoul of PCI compliance? I would guess probably. Yes. You know, just being honest, I would assume that if in fact this stuff is making it into these videos, then yeah, it's probably even if they're keeping it, they're not publishing them on the web. They're probably not keeping them under the lock and key that PCI compliance would normally require. Where it gets interesting is if, say, you use Google to authenticate inside of a non-Google app,
right?
Which we can do all the time.
An app that Facebook. You use to manage Gmail, for example. Like, you have a Gmail account and you're using, you know, some other email app in order to access your inbox and send those messages and that kind of thing.
Yeah, or, I was going to take it a step even more abstracted, where you're just using your Google account to authenticate for someone else's service. Say, for example, like, you can use, you know, Facebook and Google and Twitter to log in at Mac Observer.
Right.
We don't manage your Google email. We don't manage your Facebook account. We just let you use that if you want to be your one, you know, login.
Correct.
And inside an app, if you were to do that, what happens is you get shown a web view. The app doesn't have any access to the data that you're putting into that web view. You know, you just log in. It's a sandbox Safari inside the sandbox of the app. You log into Gmail or Facebook or whatever it is you do. That may include a code being sent to you by, you know, Google or Facebook or whatever via the, you know, Messenger or whatever. And then, okay, you're logged in and they say all the app gets back is, yes, this person has logged in.
Right.
In that scenario, there might be more data in that exchange than you had assumed the app would get.
Right.
For example, maybe they aren't getting your email address. Like, I can't imagine a scenario where that's the case, but so maybe I'm putting up a straw man here, but I'll live with it. I'll dress the straw man. You know, now that app in the video can see your email address. They can see how long your password is, even though they might not be able to see it, or they might. So that's, you know, that's where this might be divulging data you didn't think you were divulging to an app. But again, the lesson being, anything you do inside an app is assumed to be visible to the app's developer. And I think that's the thing that was always obvious to me, but it's clear was not always obvious to everyone.
Well, I think it's the level of obvious. Because to me, the part of this that was surprising was not developers can, that there is a possibility for a developer of an app to know what I do within the app. Whether it's every time I open it, I have to go to preferences and make some adjustment because the thing that I want it to do doesn't work all the time or whatever. Like, I assumed there was some sort of data that shows, you know, this percentage of your users go to preferences and change the app from blue to red every time, you know, whatever it is. And
right.
And, you know, like, seeing that the preference gets changed or seeing that X percentage of people go to this particular spot first in your app as opposed to this other spot, which is the place you actually want them to go. I assumed that there was data available like that to developers because I always check the box for, like, yes, share my, you know, share data with developers. And so I assumed that, yes, stuff that I do like that becomes part of some sort of report somewhere that people can see and that developers can look at and go, maybe this is a thing that we could adjust in some way. It never occurred to me that a video of me doing whatever I'm doing is what's getting sent to a developer.
Yeah, same.
Now, I don't care because I'm not doing anything particularly unsavory on my phone because I'm really boring like that. But the thing to me about it was...
That's not a reason not to care. Right.
Right. Yeah. I do care. Yeah. And that was the piece that surprised me. It wasn't, what do you mean developers know what I'm doing in their apps? Like, I always assumed that was the case. It's more about the level that they can see. Like, watching me scroll through something or watching as I navigate through preferences or enter information in some particular way, you know, like you were talking about, like using a Google login or a Facebook login or something like that, find like having video of that. And part of the reason that it bothers me is, first of all, like I said, I didn't realize that a video of that happening was available. If I had, like, I'd probably be okay with it, but I just didn't know. And the other piece of it is, what is, like you said, Dave, earlier, what happens to those videos? Like, right. How are they being stored? Are they just hanging out on a server somewhere and we're just waiting for everybody to see, you know, somebody hacks into an Instagram server and finds out that Instagram has all these screen recordings of people scrolling by? Like, you know, I don't know. You know, that's the part that I sort of wonder about, is like, I didn't know you were getting video, but now that I know that you're getting it, what's happening to it? Because that's always what I want to know, is what are you doing with the data I generate by using this application?
So to answer Dave's question, TechCrunch was told that some data they were able to see, like email addresses and postal codes. Mm-hmm. And there's a screenshot of this test that they did where they put black boxes over the information, but that didn't stick, so they were able to see it later. So that's the other issue I raised was, like, if they are properly redacting things, and whether that is encrypted on the server, and my guess is probably not.
I'm thinking no. Well, maybe it will be now.
Like, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, usually usually what resolves this kind of issue isn't as much a technical thing as it is sunlight. Like, once enough people know about it, like, did you know that this thing is recording what you do, not, you know, collecting data in some way, but like it's taking a video and then sending that video away to somebody. I think that putting it in those sorts of terms might change some of this. So I think we will find out more about that later. I hope we do. And I hope, Andrew, that you can continue to talk to this person and find out more. And maybe this will help.
Actually, I do have a question for him that I will ask later. But yeah, what I was wondering is if this screen recording is included as part of log data. Mm-hmm. That gets sent back to the developer, because there is a setting in iOS where you can control that, whether you want to give them analytics or not.
Right. And that's the thing that I was wondering about.
But that setting, to my knowledge, that's only for the log data that is captured by iOS, which may include other things that are running, right? But if a developer bakes a tracking system into their own app, as most apps do, then I don't think that switch of, you know, sharing log data with developers matters one bit. I think that data goes back to them no matter what. I think that's again my assumption, but also based on what I've seen, because we have our Mac Geek Gab app and we do use one of those analytics services that helps aggregate all that stuff and show us, okay, somebody got a notification, they went into the app, you know, what percentage of people then did something with that notification. And that's a really handy thing to know. Like, these kinds of notifications are a waste of time. These are awesome. Great. We're doing, you know, we're kind of cutting out the noise. Like, that kind of stuff is really helpful. I don't think the box of whether, you know, the choice of sharing analytics or log data with developers matters to that at all. It may, but I don't think it does.
Yeah, I know.
So there you go.
I know there's a difference between like the stuff that goes to Apple, you know, because something is crashing, because it's bumping up against some rough edge in iOS, and then there's what actually goes to the developer. So I know those can be different things.
Yep.
So we will find out more about this, certainly from Andrew as more develops, if anything. But you know, we're going to talk to you about it here. And so another thing we like to talk about here is our sponsors. And our sponsor today is ExpressVPN. And speaking of your data and what happens to it and why you should care, there's been lots and lots of news about security breaches, about the information that comes out of those breaches. We've told you a lot about it here. And it's not hard to worry about what actually happens to your data. And that's everything from you were on your computer and entered your credit card to buy something online, down to checking your email if you're out and about and, you know, waiting for a message to come through. And any of those things can cause, can open you up to having some sort of unsavory character who wants to get at your data. And one of the things that you can do to fix that is to use a service, a VPN service. And we're talking today about ExpressVPN, which is an easy to use service because the apps are one click. One click on, one click off. They run on your Mac, on your iPhone, on your iPad. And all of that is very easy to set up and run. And once it's running, it's like it's not even there. And it secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting all of your data. And then it hides your public IP address. So it's even harder for people to get at you who have unsavory intentions. And you can protect yourself from all of that with ExpressVPN for less than $7 a month. It's the number one rated VPN service by TechRadar, and you can get 3 months free for being a TDO listener with a 1-year package. So you can go over to expressvpn.com/TDO to find out more. That's expressvpn.com/TDO and find out more. Now, our other topic today is also a security thing, but not the kind of security thing that we think about. And so today, the other one to discuss is the Do Not Track feature in iOS, which is apparently, its days are numbered. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, so Do Not Track, I don't remember when it was first introduced, but it's this feature that sends, if you turned it on, it sends a signal to websites and advertisers and analytics companies saying that you don't want your activity to be tracked. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's completely voluntary, which of course means that almost no one obeyed it.
No one volunteered, yeah.
Well, some people did, but they weren't the people you turned it on for in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other problem is those same people can use it as a heuristic to figure out that you are the same person that came back before. Like, here's all this data about this particular browser, and it looks the same now. There's all these little patterns, and having that on, it's a header that's sent by the browser in its request to a web server. And if you have that set, it's just set. It just says, don't track me, please. And again, like Andrew said, the website can choose to look at it or not, just like the website can choose to look at it, along with like every request you make in your browser comes with lots of data in the request payload. And, you know, some of that is who, like what your browser identifies itself as. Mm-hmm. It also passes along all the cookies you have for that website every time you go to that website, right? Those all come across in the payload. And so this Do Not Track header was just another one. I was like, yep, tell me, you know, what, whether I do want you to track me or I don't. Actually, I guess it would be I don't or it's not there. Mm-hmm. And so it was, it just added to this blob of data that could be used to actually track you. And no one, like you said, nobody used it anyway. So it's going
basically,
away.
Basically, in the next versions of iOS and macOS, Apple is removing this feature because it basically gave people kind of a false sense of security, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that made us want to talk about it today, is that part of the issue is that it going away seems like Apple talks about security all the time and preserving your data and your stuff is yours, and then they take this thing out. But, you know, as you can tell, like the issue with this is that it was a totally voluntary thing and the people you actually turned it on for were not the people volunteering. So that this is partly a PSA kind of thing from us today, in that you know, you're gonna see articles about like this going away, and you know, I've seen a couple of sort of alarming headlines about it, you know, because it does, it sounds serious that the Do Not Track feature is going away, but that's not the end of the story, you know, when it comes to making sure that stuff isn't tracked, right.
And also, as part of the next updates, it sounds like Apple is also improving its own anti-cross-site tracking, I think it's called. So they're improving that as well.
Yeah, that's really the trick there, where Safari and other browsers now too are kind of building the on the fly ad hoc sandboxes for every website you visit, mm-hmm. and not letting much of your data from one website translate to the other. Now, I know it sounds like, wait a minute, why would, you know, website A get any data from website B? Well, the way the web works is this. If you visit Facebook, you obviously have, maybe not obviously, you do have your cookies and all your settings and preferences for Facebook that, as we said before, are delivered every time you visit a web page at Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you visit a website that has, you know, the ability to click the like button on an article and it automatically translates to Facebook, well, guess what? That means that that website is allowing Facebook to load alongside their web pages. And now Facebook knows that you're there, and Facebook gets all of its cookies and knows that they came from you via Mac Observer. They can't see your Mac Observer cookies, but they can see that you visited this web page at Mac Observer or whatever site, you know, that has this like button. We actually got rid of the like buttons a long time ago, but that's how it used to be. Mm-hmm. So what Safari has, or what Apple has added to Safari, is this cross-site tracking prevention, which allows some of that, but not too much of that, so that you don't get these things where things follow you around the web and know where you've been, and you're offered products that you didn't think you should be offered, but really you should, and you know, all that crazy stuff. So, yeah. That's the box that, if you're concerned about this stuff, you want to leave enabled to prevent cross-site tracking, and don't worry about the ask websites not to track me box, because it's going away, at least in the Mac version of Safari. Yeah.
Right. And that's the one that's actually more effective, because that's the one where Apple is taking action sort of preemptively on your behalf to make sure that information is all as divvied up as it needs to be, so that stuff doesn't happen. And that's the magic. So the do not track was like, you know, would you please not track me? And most places are going, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And so it was just sort of a, you know, would you please, if you don't mind, could you, you know, and that didn't get anywhere. And so like the feature that Dave's talking about, I know goes back to High Sierra. I don't remember if it goes back before that, for the cross site,
I don't think so.
The cross site tracking. So I know it's a feature in High Sierra, and I'm glad to see that, you know, there is another tactic here, that they're, you know, Apple has this other move that they're making, you know, which makes it a little, again, this is why we were talking about it. This is the PSA portion of the program, because we want to make sure you know that, you know, it wasn't like Apple made this one pass at trying to keep your data secure and it didn't really work out. And so they're taking it away and now you're high and dry. Like, that's not what's happening. So, you know, this other one has
a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But headlines are going to sound that way, because do not track sounds good and Apple taking it away sounds bad. And when you put Apple in a headline, everybody clicks on it. So,
yep.
This is what. So, yeah. Welcome to the world in years that start with two. So this is like the thing about it is, like Dave said, you know, the other preference is the one you actually want to be using anyway, if you want to make sure that data isn't happening. And if you don't have that box checked, check that box, and you may find that your browsing experience is a little bit different, but overall, it's probably going to be better for you. If what you care about is making sure that your data isn't going anyplace it doesn't necessarily need to be, a very good way to do that is to make sure that you're not handing out all of that information about all those other websites when you go visit other websites. So that would be sort of the PSA portion, I think, of the program today. Is those headlines are going to sound really scary, but in practice, they actually aren't. Is that about sum it up, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds scary, but really it's like, well, we, you know, this thing, this was an initiative that we allowed you to opt into, and we opted into as Apple, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's just not a thing anymore, so we're just taking it away. That's really maybe the best way to look at it, is this just isn't a thing. This never took off, so we're getting rid of the confusion of having this option there.
Yes, like the iPod sock. It never really went anywhere, and so now it's going away.
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, but like, I have
to, maybe had some utility to the people who bought it. This did not. So,
right. You know, and
like,
I think
it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yes.
That really, that's like that. The do not track header. That's the best way to sum it up. Seemed like a good idea at the time.
It did.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yes. And props to Apple for not letting it languish for 3 or 4 or 5 years, like, and act like it was a going concern when in real life, no. So,
although it could, we argued that that's exactly what's happened, and now we're finally getting rid of it because it's sort of been known, at least in the web development communities, for several years. It's like, oh, it's don't worry about it. It's stupid. Yeah.
That's true. I couldn't remember how long it had been around in the first place. Yeah. And so I didn't think it had been all that long. So that's why I was like, hey, at least they didn't let it sit around for 5 years like a mini. And then finally got around to like, oh, yeah, we should kill it.
So. Yeah, it was originally proposed in 2009 by three people, one of whom is Chris Segoyan. So
yeah.
Sal Segoyan from AppleScript mm-hmm. fame, his son. And then it... ended, did not make it past candidate recommendation stage and ended in September 2018 due to insufficient deployment and support. So this thing hung on for a long time and then died. So there you go. Yep.
Oh, well, rest in peace, do not track button.
Yep.
I'd say you'll be missed, but it doesn't seem like that's the case.
Yeah. To wrap it up, in January 2019, the W3C Tracking Protection Working Group concluded work on the Do Not Track standard, citing insufficient deployment of these extensions and lack of indications of planned support among user agents, third parties, and the ecosystem at large. There you go.
Yeah. Everybody kind of quietly walked away.
It's over.
And yeah, here we are. So we will be back tomorrow with more interesting news. For you. I'd like to thank my guests for being here today. Thanks for coming by, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Dave, thanks for coming by, explaining all this to us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.